Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today it is Saturday, May the 19th, 2019. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you guys had a great week. Going to go through the list of topics for today's episode, and then we will jump right into it. So this week, we have results for Beyond Wrestling's Uncharted Territory, Episode 6, aired this past Wednesday. That's a weekly show, available on independentwrestling.tv. Going to give you some PWG results, big show that happened yesterday. Got ROH TV results from their show yesterday as well, and we also have results from the two-day War of the Worlds, so Ring of Honor, a lot of stuff going on there. Got Impact TV results, their show that aired yesterday, as well as Impact TV spoilers going forward. So spoiler alert, we will be doing some spoilers for Impact Wrestling today. We also have some new NWA YouTube content to talk about, and the recap for the newest Being the Elite episode titled Ransom Note. But before we get started into those topics, I always want to give you guys something to watch on IWTV. And this week, my suggested show is Southern Underground Pro, Hold Your Ground. So the company is Southern Underground Pro, also known as SUP, and the show was called Hold Your Ground. I was there live. It was in Nashville, Tennessee, my hometown. And these are the matches to expect. We had Kevin Koo versus Marco Stunt, Logan Stunt versus Zach Cooper, O'Shea Edwards versus Anthony Henry, in my opinion, one of the best matches in SUP history right there. O'Shea Edwards and Anthony Henry killed it. We had Manders versus Joshua Bishop, another fantastic contest. AC Mack versus Mr. Brickster, the Bone Collector Challenge. It was Dominic Guarini and five competitors, so don't want to ruin who comes out during that one, but that is a Dominic Guarini open challenge. After that, we have Logan Easton LaRue versus Alley Cat, Jaden Newman versus Craig Mitchell, Cabana Man Dan versus Matthew Justice, and in the main event, the Bone Storm Championship is on the line, Brett Eisen versus JD Drake. This was a fantastic show, start to finish. I mentioned I was there live. I've also watched it since here on IWTV, and I really, really can't recommend this enough. Support independent wrestling and check the show out. Once again, that's SUP's Hold Your Ground, available on independentwrestling.tv. All right, as far as the topics for this week, let's jump into some results, starting with Beyond Wrestling's Uncharted Territory. It's going to be the results for Episode 6, and once again, this is every Wednesday. We've got Trey Miguel defeating Tony Deppen, Chuck Taylor defeating Orange Cassidy, the PWG World Championship is on the line, Jeff Cobb retains the title over Jonathan Gresham, in a three-way match, Brody King defeats Jake Atlas and Trent Beretta, Jungle Boy defeats Puma King. The PWG Tag Team Championships are on the line. The Rascals, the team of Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz, retain their titles over Flamita and Ray Horace. And in the main event, a Guerrilla Warfare match, Darby Allin defeats Joey Janela. Those are two guys. Man, I mentioned Joey Janela during the Beyond show just now, but, big fan of his. But I'm also a huge fan of Darby Allin. And I actually had the privilege of watching the two of these guys wrestle each other in the 2017 Scenic City Invitationals. I made the trip to Chattanooga a couple years back and watched the two of them just completely tear the house down. So anytime I can see the two of them wrestle, I'm down 100%. And more and more success is coming for both of those guys, both of them being AEW signings. It's going to be really cool to see both of them really get some mainstream exposure in the wrestling business coming up soon. So great stuff, and great show from PWG. All right, now we've got some ROH TV results. This show aired yesterday. First match, we had PJ Black defeating Eli Isom, and that happens when Black hits a moonsault double stomp. They start hyping up War of the Worlds, and that's something I'll actually be giving you the results for here in just a moment. Kelly Klein defeats Ray Lynn. Hits the K-Power to get the W. We see some highlights of Dalton Castle attacking the boys at the G1 Supercard. Basically, Castle comes out and talks about himself and the boys and their history and all that stuff, and it seems like everything is good, and it isn't, because Dalton Castle then goes ahead and attacks both the boys and takes their masks before he leaves, so it seems like he is totally done with them. In the main event of the show, Lifeblood, the team of Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams, defeats the Kingdom after the match. And that happens when Haskins hits TK O'Ryan with a sharpshooter, gets the tap out victory. After the match, Tracy Williams grabs a microphone and starts calling out Bully Ray. Bully Ray comes out to the stage questioning if they're still mad about Dale Dashwood and all that stuff. Basically, Williams says, you know, Ray should come down and fight Haskins and himself, and Ray tells both of them to go to hell before he leaves as the show ends. So, decent stuff from Ring of Honor this week. You know, can't really complain. PJ Black continues to look great, and I mean, I've been a fan of his for quite a while, and, you know, we'll see where he goes, but I think he's great in the ring, and he's an interesting enough character, and he really kind of lives his gimmick. He really is that Darewolf type guy, so good to see him get another win. Kelly Klein's been looking great as the ROH Women's Champion, and, you know, the Kingdom, I'm still so-so on them. I understand Mac Taven's got the title and everything, and we'll be talking about him in just a second with the War of the Worlds results, but I still love the Lifeblood stable, and I think Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams are two of the best wrestlers in the world. I'm so interested to see where this goes with Bully Ray, but, you know, Bully Ray is just a great heel character in general, so I'd imagine the payoff will be pretty great, so good stuff from Ring of Honor this week as far as their TV goes. As far as the War of the Worlds results, let's go ahead and get these out there. So we have results from the 8th as well as the 9th of this month. So I'm going to start with, obviously, the show that happened first. Let's see here. PJ Black defeats Alice Coughlin. Kelly Klein retains her Ring of Honor Women's Championship over Kate Carney. TK O'Ryan and Vinny Marlea defeat Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks. Shane Taylor defeats Hikuleo. There we go. Love those difficult names. Evil and Sonata defeats Tracy Haskins and Tracy Williams. Yeah, what did I just say? Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams. I don't know if I just totally botched both those names too. Roosh defeats Silas Young. The ROH six-man tag team championships are on the line. Villain Enterprises retains over Jeff Cobb, Yuji Nagata, and Kojima. After the match, the Kingdom attack the Villain Enterprises, and Matt Taven lays out PCO. The ROH Tag Team Championships are on the line, and the Guerrillas of Destiny retain their titles over Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. G.O.D. brawl with the Briscoes after the match. And in the main event of this show, Flip Gordon defeats Bandido. Gordon is offered a spot in Lifeblood after the match, but does not make a decision. Which is interesting because he kind of would be perfect for that stable, but I also like him out on his own. So, good stuff there. A lot of great wrestlers on that show. So, that leads us into the War of the Worlds results from the next day. And these are those results. We have the Bullet Club, the team of Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Hikuleo, defeating Carl Fredericks, Alex Coughlin, and Clark Connors. Yuji Nagata defeats Silas Young by DQ. Evil and Sonata defeat The Kingdom. Roosh defeats PJ Black. Dalton Castle cuts a promo saying he will burn ROH to the ground. The Briscoes defeat Lifeblood, the team of Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams. Bully Ray taunts Lifeblood after the match. Kelly Klein cuts a promo but is interrupted by Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, and Mandy Leon. Klein ends up running them off. Jay Lethal defeats Kojima. The ROH television title is on the line. Shane Taylor defeats Jeff Cobb, Goto, and Brody King. So Shane Taylor, the new Ring of Honor television champion. And the ROH world title is on the line. Matt Taven retains the title over PCO. So interesting stuff going on there. More great wrestlers. Great wrestling. Can't complain. Ring of Honor's biggest problem is just going to be exposure at this point. You know, they have great wrestlers, their storylines are good enough, and just one of those things like AEW coming around, it's going to be tough for companies like Ring of Honor to, like, really... I'm interested to see, like, what their strategy is going forward, because I'll kind of mention this now, and I have the same sentiments towards Impact Wrestling. Like, you know, are these companies just going to get lost in the shuffle once AEW is a, you know, a major mainstream force in professional wrestling, and they're going to continue to get guys from this talent pool? So we'll see what happens. I'm very interested to see what Ring of Honor winds up doing and what Impact Wrestling winds up doing going forward, or if they're going to have, you know, working relationships with AEW, which I think would be a very, very wise move on their parts. But as we've seen with Impact Wrestling and NWA, especially in particular with the Willie Mack situation, who knows what'll happen, because from what I understand, Impact is not happy with the stuff that Willie Mack has done in the NWA as far as like working their shows. And we saw Willie Mack drop the North American Championship to Colt Cabana recently. I'd imagine those two, that scenario kind of goes hand in hand with him dropping the belt, because he is exclusive to Impact Wrestling now. So, you know, I hope that doesn't mean he won't be able to work AEW if he has the opportunity, because I think that's going to be a way bigger platform for him. But that's another thing. I don't know what these guys, you know, personal and financial situations are in their decisions to sign with Impact Wrestling around this time. But if I was an indie wrestler with a lot of buzz around me right now, there's no way I would personally sign with Impact. There's no way. When you have the chance of signing with AEW and, you know, the NXT, you know, NXT is still a possibility and stuff like that, I'd be real slow to make a decision as far as signing with Impact Wrestling right now for a lot of different reasons, but mainly that one. Speaking of Impact Wrestling, we can go ahead and talk about their TV results. This show aired yesterday. First match, the LAX defeats Josh Alexander and Moose after a double inverted suplex. Madison Rayne defeats Ty Valkyrie by submission with a single leg Boston Crab. Jordan Grace defeats Alexa Nicole by pinfall with a package pile driver. Still kind of salty that she didn't win the Impact Women's Championship, to be totally honest. I've talked about it before. Like, I really think that they should be building Jordan Grace like as like a unbeatable wrestler, and that's what they were doing up until she recently lost to Taya Valkyrie. And Taya has been good. Like, I'm not, this is nothing against her, but I mean, you really had an opportunity there to really establish Jordan Grace, and I think that the long-term story is most likely going to be that she will eventually defeat Taya Valkyrie for that title, but I would have liked to see her just do it straight up on the first attempt versus what I'm imagining will be more of like a Brian Cage scenario, where we're going to get like months and months of the same old shit over and over and over again until she finally wins the title from her, by that point, no one's going to care, just like nobody cared about Brian Cage defeating Johnny Impact. Like, it was way too late. Way too little, way too late, and the match did not deliver at all. After that, we have Rob Van Dam defeating Ethan Page by pinfall with a 5-star frog splash. And this is more along the lines of what I wanted to see. Like, last week on this show, I was complaining because I had seen Rob Van Dam wrestling Tommy Dreamer on Impact, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like, get him in there with somebody new, someone fresh. And Ethan Page is that, so I'm happy about that. Up next, the Desi Hit Squad defeats the Rascals, the Deaners, and the team of Aiden Prince and Brett Banks. And that was by pinfall. It unfortunately, it was one of those, like, screwy finishes with a roll-up and holding the tights and all that stuff. The Desi Hit Squad does nothing for me. Aiden Prince and Brent Bakes, at least, you know, newer names coming up on the scene. The Deaners I'm kind of big on right now. I'm really a big fan of Jake Something, who plays, Cousin Jake, is that what they call him? So, you know, just is what it is. I mean, I'd say of the teams involved, the Desi Hit Squad is the worst of those four teams, and they got the victory, which I'm not a big fan of. And that's not to say, you know, Hakeem Zayn, Raju, or whatever they call him now, he's got a lot of talent, but the actual group of the Desi Hit Squad is just, it's just really, really lame to me. Up next, the main event, we have an OVE rules match. OVE defeats the team of Willie Mack, Tommy Dreamer, Rich Swann, and Fala Ba. Sammy hits Willie with a pile driver to get the W. So, I mean, decent enough stuff. It's just, you know, I'm not optimistic for Impact Wrestling's future at the moment. But there are some good things about it, and I'm actually going to talk about some of those highlights here, you know, during their TV taping results, which I'll just go ahead and get into now. So these will be airing on future episodes of Impact. I don't know when. And these are just a bunch of results for you. These are courtesy of Fightful.com if you want to check them out. And once again, spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear these, fast forward a few minutes. We still have a little NWA to talk about in Being the Elite after this. So we got Desmond Xavier defeating Jake Crist. Tessa Blanchard defeating Disco Inferno. Jesus Christ. The North and Moose cutting a promo trashing ECW. Whoa, here we go. We'll get into that here in a minute. The Deaners defeat the Desi Hit Squad. There's a hardcore match where Eddie Edwards defeats Killer Cross. The Sandman helps Edwards and presented him with a new cane. Oh my god. Okay, we got more to talk about there. Rich Swann and Willie Mack defeats Michael Elgin and Johnny Impact. When I say high points of Impact Wrestling, Michael Elgin is a fantastic wrestler. Fantastic. I don't know why he's being paired with Johnny Impact right now and why he's losing. I'd imagine the best course of action would be to keep him very, very strong, pretty much win all of his matches, look super impressive, and then go after Brian Cage in the championship. But who knows if that's what's going to happen. Not looking good based on that result. Taya Valkyrie and Rosemary ends basically double DQ, no contest. Jessica Havoc and Jim Mitchell take them both out. Jim Mitchell, like James, like the Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell. If that's, once again, these are I'm reading these for the first time here, and if that's the case, it's once again just rehashing old stuff. Madman Fulton defeats Fireworks Fox and his partner. Don't know who that was, but Madman Fulton gets a win. The Chris brothers defeat Fall the Ball and Scarlett Bordeaux. OVE attacks Scarlett after the match, but Tessa makes the save. Jordan Grace defeats Kira Hogan. Impact Tag Team titles are on the line. The LAX retain their titles over the Rascals after a dusty finish. Don't know what the, I know what a dusty finish is, but I don't know like what exactly happened because it doesn't say here. Sue Young defeats Alicia Edwards. Ace Austin defeats cousin Jake Diener, aka Jake Something, who once again I'm very high on. And in the main event, Rob Van Dam, Sabu, and Tommy Dreamer defeat the North and Moose. Team ECW cuts a promo after the match. Okay, so let's get into it now. These are the things I do not want to see in Impact Wrestling. Wow. So we'll just go through this show, these spoilers, and talk about all the bad things going on. So Tessa Blanchard feuding with Disco Inferno. That is a waste. Of Tessa Blanchard's skill, talent, and what she should be doing in the company. What a joke. Hate that. The North and Moose cutting a promo trashing ECW. Why are we still talking about ECW? Why? Like, I grew up in the 90s. I loved ECW when it was around. I even was, you know, super into when, you know, One Night Stand came around, and One Night Stand 2, and then the ECW relaunch, but then it became WWECW, and it lost all of its charm and all of its, you know, it became a completely different thing. But even in Impact Wrestling, they've done this so many times with, like, the EC 2.0 or whatever it was called. And, like, they've done this so many times. How out of ideas do you have to be, or how unoriginal do you have to be to continue to go back to this well? Like, ECW died 20 years ago, almost. You know what I mean? Like, the original form of it. Why is this still happening? Like, This is just bad, lazy, this isn't getting anybody over. I'd imagine the goal of this is to put like a few younger guys over ECW talent at some point, but who cares? These guys are so past their prime, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make them look good to beat an old man. I'm just going to be straight up honest about it. Like, why? When you're a company that needs to be building new stars, why are you wasting your time with people that have not, I'm going to be honest, haven't been relevant in a mainstream wrestling capacity in like at least 15 years. Why are you doing this? So, so dumb. Makes me not want to watch the show at all. What else do we have on here that sucked? Eddie Edwards defeating Killer Cross. So I'm okay with Eddie Edwards winning matches. He's a great wrestler. Killer Cross, don't know what happened to him. It looked like he was, you know, on the fast track to the world championship, and now he's lost the last few times I've, you know, done results here. But what I really have an issue with is Sandman comes out. The Sandman. A guy, I'm going to be brutally honest, a complete novelty act from the 1990s that was out of shape and not a good in-ring worker all the way back then. Entertaining as hell. But when you can't use the theme song, Enter Sandman by Metallica, that's like 90% of his gimmick is that entrance, and he can't do it. He's not a good wrestler. You know what I mean? And now it's like the Sandman gives Eddie Edwards a new cane. Like, oh, okay, so he's like passing the torch to Eddie Edwards. Who cares? Stupid, lazy, rehashed, don't need to see it anymore. Not what Impact Wrestling needs to be doing at all. Just bad. What else do we have here? I mentioned Jim Mitchell. If once again this is, you know, Father James Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, once again from ECW, if this is the same guy, like, I'm okay with managers, but like something new. The hell. And then I feel like we had something else here. Yeah, the main event. Basically, Team ECW. We have Rob Van Dam, Sabu, and Tommy Dreamer defeating Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, and Moose. Why? Why? Like, even if later on, like, all three of those guys, like Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, and Moose, like, all three of them even individually beat those three guys. No, who cares? Like, the only one, in my honest opinion, that brings any value whatsoever to that product is Rob Van Dam, and that's only because we haven't seen him in a while, and he's still somewhat fresh because of how often he's, like, in and out taking breaks, and he's still athletic and he can still work. I don't necessarily really want to see him on Impact at this point, but I at least understand him being a part of it. The rest of this is like come on. Why is there a Team ECW 20 years after anyone cared about ECW? Or, you know, 15 years after anybody. I'll be generous. I'll say the last time anyone cared about ECW was about 2006. Or, like, really cared about it. And that was, like, when it got rebranded, rehashed, you know, One Night Stand, all that stuff. Okay, that was, so, what, 13 years ago? So we'll be generous. Over a decade ago, easy. Why is this still happening? Impact, I've been optimistic about your product the majority of the time that I've covered it on this show. I talk about the show week after week here on the Impact, or here on the Weekender, talk about Impact. And things like this make me not want to watch Impact. I'm going to continue to do it so I can review it for you guys. But Jesus Christ, like, you got to be kidding me with this. I'm going to give those spoiler results a big fat two thumbs down. All right, moving on. We have new NWA YouTube content. If you guys want to check out some stuff that they threw up there on the YouTube channel, really great stuff, to be honest. Billy Corgan talks the success of the NWA Crockett Cup. That's one video. Another video went up. Nick Aldis at the Cauliflower Alley Club giving a speech for Dory Funk Jr. And there was a most recent video from about 4 days ago called This is the NWA, and it was a new 10 pounds of gold. And they highlight, in those three videos, they're highlighting the Crockett Cup, the title match between Aldis and Marty Scurll, where NWA has been, where it's going in the future, all that good stuff. And on the flip side, you know, the opposite of what I was saying about Impact, NWA is doing the best they can with what they have. Like, I think they're very smart to have kind of working relationship and partnerships with these other companies, you know, especially like Ring of Honor. And they're doing their own thing, and Nick Aldis is doing a great job building and continuing to build the prestige of the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. I can't really say anything bad about the NWA. Like, it really is a situation where like, with what they have and the options that they currently have, they're doing the best they can with it, and they're putting up high production, high quality stuff on their YouTube channel, and they're delivering in the ring with all their big matches and all their big shows. The NWA Crockett Cup was a great show from top to bottom. So I gave Impact two thumbs down just then. I'll give NWA two thumbs up. I honestly don't think they can be doing any better given their circumstances. So I'll leave it at that. Great job, NWA. Great job, Billy Corgan. Great job, Dave Lagana. Awesome stuff, you guys. Just keep it up. Keep going that course. And we'll end this week's episode of The Weekender with a recap of the newest Being the Elite titled Ransom Note. Starts off with Michael Nakazawa covering himself in baby oil in Matt Jackson's dream. Or should I call it a nightmare, I guess. Pretty funny stuff there. After that, we see Cody reading his new children's book called Cody, Heart of the Mountain. And he's reading it to Penelope Ford. She's like, I'm an adult. Where's Brandy? And she goes to look for Brandy by the pool. We see footage of Joey Ryan at Disneyland having a great time, but he's also looking for Candace. And even like the Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh is like, where's that little blonde girl? And like just random people that are stopping him at Disneyland are like, hey, big fan, man. Where's that blonde girl that used to hang out with you? And so he's looking for Candace. Sammy G is in Pakistan meeting locals. He's shaking hands with everybody, does a backflip. They're all cheering. When he walks away, they're like, we hate this guy. Hangman Page gets a package with a note from Pac. And it says basically something along the lines of, hey, you know, you might need a little juice to get ready for Double or Nothing. And he pulls out a bottle that says Michael's Secret Stuff on it and chugs it down. And I love that because that's a reference to Space Jam. I actually have a Space Jam pennant banner hanging in this office that I'm doing this out of right now. Big fan of that movie from back in the day. And I love the reference, the Michael Secret stuff. Great stuff. Great stuff there from Being the Elite. Love that. SCU is cutting a promo, hyping up their match against Seema, T-Hawk, and Lindman at Double or Nothing. We get some footage of the Young Bucks practicing in a ring outside in California. They're working off their ring rust, just doing a bunch of different moves and stuff. Brandon Cutler is videotaping them, and he cuts to kind of like a little selfie video that he's doing and misses the last move that the Bucks hit. And they're kind of teasing that they're going to use this new move, or it might be an old move that they haven't done in a long time, but it seems like the Bucks got some new tricks up their sleeve for when they return to the ring, which is really cool. Then we see footage of Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega crashing in Atlanta Indie Show, and they fight each other. Really great stuff. That crowd was going crazy for it, which I love. And shout out to AC Mack, a guy who has been doing great stuff on the indie scene. I've been seeing him all over the place lately, and he was in the ring during this, so I wanted to give him a shout out. Up next, we see Kenny Omega, or we hear Kenny Omega. He is in Florida. He sends a message to the Young Bucks talking about how he's doing more stuff for the Fighter Fest, and he's hanging out with a famous rapper, and the Bucks are like, why does he not just watch the end of that documentary? Like, the big ongoing joke here is that Kenny Omega has only seen a part of the Fire Fest documentary, and he doesn't realize that the whole thing blows up at everyone's faces and is a complete disaster, but the Young Bucks are like encouraging him to like see what he's getting himself into, but Kenny Omega's just, he's got his blinders on, and he is all in on this Fighter Fest. And this episode of Being the Elite ends with the best friends but they're blurred out, and they're using a voice changer. It's them giving ransom demands, saying that they need to be on, that the best friends need to be on the main show, not the pre-show at Double or Nothing. And then one of them's like, yeah, if you don't do it, we'll kill your family. And then the other one's like, yo, dude, no, like, we're not going to threaten their family. It was really, really funny. And then Brandon Cutler at the end of the episode is like, hey, did you guys notice who that was? Like, pretty sure that was bad, you know. It's obvious to everybody that it was the best friends. And really funny stuff there. Another great episode of Being the Elite. Once again, that was titled Ransom Note, and it's available on YouTube. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. If you want to check me out on Twitter, give me a follow at FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. I'll be back next Saturday. Until then, enjoy some professional wrestling.